This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
We are here live on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff, and I'm just getting ready for my Instagram. I just put the word out that we are live here on Instagram as well, waiting for some of you to join on. Hello there. Good morning. Number one today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, hello, Sharon. How you doing? Hey, B, how are you? Okay. So, here for you, pets. You know the drill, how easy it is to get a hold of me. First off, if you're here on Instagram, just start typing away. Hello, Deb. And if not, you're here on Pet Life Radio. You can also ask. You can also join us. You can join us here by calling 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. And we can talk about anything you want. You know, it's just funny. I was talking about this week with somebody who watches the show. I appreciate it very much. And, she was saying how interesting how so many people seem to be afraid to ask certain questions, and they're so happy when others do. Why? You say, same thing I say all the time. You think you have a weird problem? Trust me, it's not so weird. It's almost like when I hear a client talking about something, and they always give a little, you know, preview, a little preface, almost because they're so embarrassed about it. And I already know, just by the first two words, I know exactly what they're going to talk about. Why? Because it's not just you, it's everybody. You know, if you can't have a pet for a long time and not encounter some of these issues, and it's very common and it's not embarrassing and it's just, it is so common. So that's why I love doing this show, because I'm hoping that I get to help a lot of you through some of the issues you're having with your pets, even though it's really not that unusual. They're in a sense, they're pretty common. So a couple things I wanted to cover today, given the fact, oh, by the way, for those of you in Los Angeles, I don't know exactly what time, but on the 29th, Wednesday, in the late morning, I think at 11, that 11 o'clock show, whatever it is, I'm going to be on KTLA. We're talking about, guess what? Halloween. And for those of you living in LA and happen to be baseball fans, how cool is it? The Dodgers have kind of evened up the series. And now, you know, you figure it this way. I don't know what it's going to turn out. Toronto is a great team, and they worry me a lot. But there are five games left. Two games are down. Five games of the seven, and three of those are in LA. So it's kind of like we possibly regained that home field advantage. We don't know. We have to see. But anyway, at least they finally came to play last night. So standardized an older dog with liver disease. Where it says, Ivy, can you please discuss stents which arise? Give me some more. I think that shunts. Okay, now we're talking. So there are different types of shunts that we see with dogs, hepatic shunts. Some of them are actually acquired over time. And some of them, you know, usually we see a lot of liver shunts in very small puppies. Those are congenital. So you can either have them, they're born with them, all right? And there may be hereditary component there as well, meaning it was passed on. But so those shunts, sometimes depending on the shunt, depending on where it is and how severe it is, sometimes they live with it and you modify diets. Sometimes you have to have surgery and it seals off the shunt. They don't completely cut it off, but they kind of make it more normal. And that is where the blood that is dirty, that is going through the liver for retox or detox, I should say, then the bad blood goes right back into circulation because it bypasses the liver. That's why they call it a shunt. And so sometimes you get acquired shunts or congenital. Many of the acquired shunts, which happens with age, can be modified, and you don't often need surgery. The problem is there's intrahepatic and extrahepatic. What does that mean? That means if the shunt is coming from within the liver, then you really can't seal it off. There's no way to access it. It is part and parcel of the liver itself. So those you have to either just treat medically. If they're really, really bad, then obviously that's going to be a problem. Whereas the extrahepatic, meaning the actual shunt itself, is happening outside the liver, then it can be repaired surgically. But the diagnosis has been, first of all, with blood work, okay? We're looking, like, for example, at bile acids. And then also, we are looking at the only way they can make a determine whether it's intrahepatic or extrahepatic, meaning within the liver or outside the liver, is going to be with dye studies. So the doctors, usually internal medicine or radiologists, they will actually infuse a dye into the bloodstream and watch it as it courses through the liver, and you can tell whether it is inside or outside. Now, if there's a lot of them, a web, then that means they're probably intrahepatic. And those, it's just going to be really modifications, some additives which will help digestion and minimize the problem with the toxic, if you will, blood, which is the dirty blood that has not been purified by going through the liver. And that's why we have these issues. And some issues can be very much, sometimes you'll see neurologic, you'll see GI issues. So there are a number of problems with these hepatic shunts. Now, the fact that it's happened in an older dog usually means that it's an acquired shunt, but still it could be intra or extrahepatic. So it's going to take some work up as far as the diagnostics, usually done by an internist who has the capabilities of doing the dye studies, fluoroscopy, et cetera. Obviously, most GPs, we don't do that. We refer those out to the specialists. Hope that helped. Yeah, if there are many shunts they're most likely intrahepatic and most likely will have to be done treated medically. All right. Give me those shunts. All right. So without more questions, let's go ahead. Lulu had one that she chews like a sucking bass. If it doesn't tear. And she also humps it. She has three other beds just like it, but only humps this one. She was spayed. And so she's, that is interesting. So make sure, first of all, if she was spayed, make sure at 14 months, how old is she now? Because if it's been a long time, if she's not going through any kind of feeling of like being in season, being estrus, then more likely than not, it is going to be a behavior. It's a behavior thing for some whatever reason. This is something she wants to do, and it's almost like cats. You know, they're adult cats will start kneading on you because that brings them back to being kittens. So I would think that it's behavior. Now, if it's a young dog that was spayed young and there may be some tissue left behind, then she may be going through phases where she thinks it's almost like she is having a false pregnancy. So that, you really need to evaluate that more in depth. Now, but if it's going on years and she's not going through any signs of estrus every 6 or 7 or 8 months, then most likely it's going to be a behavior thing. And she's just, for whatever reason, it's a motherhood feeling, and she's it is not unusual, and it's not dangerous. So if she wants to do it, it is bringing her some calm and some relief. Let her do it. It's okay. You know, you buy an extra bed, which she ruins this one, but it's not a medical issue. All right. So I had 2 tiny pebbles this morning in her pee. All right. So if there are 2 little pebbles in pee, then that means that she is getting little stones. The good news is, obviously, she is a female. So therefore, the urethra, as it exits, the body is much wider. And therefore, female dogs, that's why female dogs don't block as much as males, because the little stones, they can usually pass. They pass before they get too big. Whereas in the male, they're not so lucky, because the tip of the urethra is very narrow. And that's why male cats notoriously are going to block more often than female cats, as with dogs. I mean, I have done cystotomies on both, but males far outnumber the females when it comes to needing a cystotomy to remove the large stones or even the small stones because they can't pass. There's a request, Miss Congeniality. If that's real, I'll step on it and we'll see if a lot of times what happens is, I said people hit that accidentally, and we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to go see now. I'll accept the request. And if you're there, you're there. If not, no problem. I get it. Karen, how you doing? Talked to Mary yesterday. We're going to work on Teddy. Poor Teddy, this great, great Airedale, and has just terribly, terribly, terrible skin disease. And it's combination of allergy and secondary infection from bacteria, secondary infection from yeast. and this poor dog is just scratching like crazy. So I have some tricks up my sleeve. If not, we're going to get you to a dermatologist. All right, Jasmine Fox, why do some dogs' noses fade at 2.5 to 19 sunscreen? They're, okay, so first of all, a lot of dogs' noses fade. They sometimes start really nice and black. My yellow lab, for example, now his is just like a light brownish color. The problem with sunscreen is that when you put anything on a nose, what's the dog, first thing the dog's going to do? They're going to lick it off. So, I mean, you can only do so much. So I would not recommend, because most of the things potentially are toxic. You want to get sunscreen that is specific for animals. A lot of regular sunscreens over the counter, even those safe for babies, have products in them, chemicals in them that can be dangerous to dogs. So you really need to do your homework. Don't just buy anything. Go to the drugstore down the street and buy any kind of sunblock or even SPF 50, safe for babies, still can be dangerous to dogs. So it's very important that you look at the labels, find out first what is toxic. There are a bunch of chemicals that I can't even name or pronounce if I'm looking, read them, they're so long. And you'll see what I mean. Go pick up a sunscreen, look at the ingredients, and you'll see what I mean. Anyway, a lot of those are potentially possible. So, I mean, toxic. So you got to be really careful. So I had something I wanted to show you guys today because I think this is amazing. So I have two little toys. They're adorable. Okay, this one, okay, it looks like maybe a little teddy bear. You can see. Let me say, now you can see. How adorable is that, right? And, oh, this one too. This is also, maybe another kind of bear. I don't know, but what's so unique about these? This one, believe it or not, cost about $5,000. And this one cost about $7,000. And you're thinking, how could these little cute little toys be? Because these two were pulled out of different dogs about 3 months apart, blocking the stomach in this case and the intestine in this case. And surgery was astronomically expensive. And I'm going to tell you, when they got quoted, this one got quoted first at the emergency when it went in because of persistent vomiting and weakness. And the dog was a beautifully, beautiful Labrador. And they quoted, you ready for this? I'm not going to say the name of the hospital because I am in enough trouble with them already. But they, $14,000 to remove this new cute little bear. And this one, came to me initially. That actually it was also quoted around 10,000 elsewhere. But fortunately, his best friend is one of my employees, and my employee said, "No, don't you dare go there. Werber will take it out way cheaper." And I gave them a nice break. But even still, this is insane. So what's the take-home lesson here, guys? Don't buy your dogs, or if you have kids, don't leave little cute things like this around because they will 100% try to eat them. And they're going to swallow them whole, and it's going to start coursing through pretty well. Now, this one was stuck in the stomach for like a day or two because we took x-rays. We knew something was there, but we didn't know if it would pass or not. By the second day, it wasn't passing. We went in, and sure enough, it did get out of the stomach finally, but got lodged in the intestine. This one never made it out of the stomach. This was much bigger. And it was just causing vomiting, persistent vomiting, weakness, lethargy, pale. I mean, it was really bad. So anyway, please. Now, here's the funny part. Now, this one, the owner had small children. So when you have small kids, you gotta, come on. It's like when you have dogs, you need to check a room before you leave and say to yourself, is there anything in this room that the dog can possibly get a hold of? And if he says yes, if the answer is yes, remove it or close it or don't allow the dog to have access to that room. Because if they can, they will. Now, this one was even funnier because I know the owner. The owner is a bachelor, has no children. I said, How did he get a hold of this toy? He goes, oh, well, I thought it was cute, so I bought it for him. Oh, my God. You're going to buy this little thing for a 80-pound, 85-pound Labrador, and you don't think he's going to try to eat it whole? Come on. So anyway, the lesson from the experience, please be really, really careful. I save these. I'm going to do a post on these on my Instagram because, you know, I always say I've taken tennis balls out of a dog. And I said, I'll say to the owner, you know, this was the most expensive tennis ball you're ever going to buy. Yeah, it was an $8,000 tennis ball. So anyway, please be careful. Think about it. check your, and even same with shoes, same with anything that you think possibly a dog can get a hold of, the answer is he or she will. So before it actually happens, then you need to know. All right, let's see what else we got here. All right, it's 9:16, perfect time to break. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we are going to talk about Halloween do's and don'ts. Very, very, very important to know. That's what I'll be talking about on KTLA on Wednesday. So we're going to give you a little preview so you have know what I'm going to talk about. Still, if you can tune in, that'd be great to tune in. What's the ball is for Varentes? They destroy everything. Well, anything that is bigger than anything that they cannot break apart or eat whole. It was good. Bye, Frenchie. I have this thing. It's a really super hard rubber ball. Way he has a tough time getting his mouth. It's got a squeaker. They love squeaker toys because then when they bite it, it squeaks. And it's a big, thick rope attached to it. And it is, I think, indestructible. He's going after it. He likes it so much that when he's got the ball in his mouth, okay, I can pick up the rope part. I can lift him, all 36 pounds of him, off of the ground. He is hanging on to that thing. I mean, he's impossible. But you just got to, if you just look at things, when you give them something initially, see how they play with it. See if they, can they break it apart? If they can, it's no good. You got to take it away. If they can fit the whole thing in the mouth, it's no good. So you got to be really careful. All right. But yeah, Frenchies are amazing, and they have a heck of a jaw, I gotta tell you that. Okay, don't go away here. We'll be right back during the commercial break. We will talk, and Mark, take it away for Pet Life Radio. Run those commercials, and we'll be back after these short messages.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. We're back here live. So another question came in. I have a mini doodle 2 years old. I feed her freeze-dried patties, Stella and Chewy. She drinks some water, but I'm worried because she only poops once a day, and it's hard. What would you recommend? Well, first of all, I guess be thankful. Once a day, you only have one poop to clean up a day. Not bad. The fact that it's firm, that's even better. So that's probably because the food, when it's freeze-dried, you're getting, first of all, what does that mean when you're freeze-drying dry? It's getting a lot of excess water. So there's a lot of excess fluid, and there's probably less fiber in it. So it all depends what are the other ingredients. So if you want, first of all, that's a good thing. As long as everything else is normal, she's acting fine, she looks good, her coat is clean. I like the Stella & Chewy's freeze-dried because it is freeze-dried. When I had my Optimum, which was also freeze-dried, we also did HPP, high-pressure pasteurization. The goal is you want to destroy the bad things, but you don't want to destroy the vitamins. So when you, most of the processes we'll just do heat pasteurization, that destroys the vitamins. And what they do is, you notice, and you look at the ingredients, they add them back in afterwards, which is, it's okay. They're still getting the vitamins. With high pressure pasteurization, you want to destroy the bad bacteria, Listeria, Campylobacter, Salmonella, E. coli, but you don't want to destroy the nutritional value. You don't want to destroy the good nutrients. You don't want to destroy the vitamins. So HPP or freeze drying could do that. So I think it's a good food. So I would just, boy, if I had a dog, if my dogs could poop half of what they normally do, I'd be thrilled. So as long as everything else is normal, I wouldn't worry. Okay, let's talk about, Eloise, how you doing? Is lamb also high in lists? High allergy. There was food, lamb and rice, way, way back. I don't think it's as popular now. I mean, look, there are so many other proteins that you can test for your dog that you think or suspect to be food allergic, and avoid lamb right away. But lamb is not on the big list. Is going to be beef and poultry, chicken, turkey. Those are the big three. Corn, wheat, rice are your the vegetables or the fibers that you want to avoid. So let's see. JB, how are you? So let's, while we have you all here, hopefully we'll have your attention. I didn't take a sip of my coffee before it break. So not that I need more energy, as you can tell. Okay. So made a list of some things that we need to be aware of comes Halloween. Number one, trick-or-treat candies, obviously not for pets. All right. They don't discriminate. They'll eat anything that they can get their paws on. And first of all, because they have paws, they're not good at unwrapping things. Now, the smell comes through. That I promise you. You could pick up a sealed bag, you know, candy or something. You don't smell anything. They not only could smell it, if they could talk or write, they would give you the ingredients in order. That's how sensitive their noses are. So you're not going to fool them because there's no wrapping. So they'll eat everything. Chocolate, obviously, either dark chocolate, baker's chocolate, and cocoa are the most toxic. Milk chocolate's not that toxic. It can be if they eat enough of it. If they get a hold of the whole bag, then yes, it's going to be a problem. So chocolate poisoning, a lot of problems. You know, it could be obviously GI, vomiting, diarrhea. It could be muscle fasciculations. It could be seizures. So in rare instances, I think there are only two cases that I've heard of death from chocolate, and that's going to be mostly getting a hold of pure cocoa, 100% cocoa. Because you're kids, you might want them to have unsweetened or artificially sweetened candy so they don't get all that sugar. That's okay. But what is the artificial sweetener often used is xylitol. And guess what? Xylitol can be very toxic to dogs. Again, it could be a neurotoxin. What it does is it makes the body think that they have enough sugar. So what happens is it fools the body. And also, in a sense, they'll get coordination because they get their real blood sugar will drop because there's no feedback. The insulin, right, doesn't have to work. So they see the xylitol and that sugar, that xylitol doesn't get absorbed into the bloodstream. It's fake sugar, but it gets absorbed, so it takes up space, and the real sugar doesn't get absorbed, and therefore they get hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. So anyway, that's you want to be careful. All right, next up, let's talk about where to leave your pets. You don't want to leave them in a yard. Especially if they may get out. You got to be really, really careful because they will try. There's so much commotion. There's so much noise. And if you're having them in the house, keep them away from the front door. I mean, some dogs, first of all, think about it. A doorbell is going to ring every 2 or 3 minutes, especially if you're in an area where there are a lot of kids. So these are not regular kids. A dog door could be open and the dog's fine with kids. You have kids. No problem. These aren't regular kids. They're wearing costumes. They may look like a kid. They may smell like a kid. They don't look like a kid. They smell like a kid. They may sound like a kid, but they don't look like a kid. So what happens is even the nicest dog can be overwhelmed and fear that he needs to protect his home and he can get aggressive. So that's another issue. You can have fear, you can have anxiety, they can attempt to escape with that doors opening and closing. So again, something you need to be really, really careful. Hi guys, thanks for joining me. Then what you can do, I recommend keep them, especially if you have a dog that you know is nervous, a part of the house, almost like 4th of July stuff. Keep them, in their own room, nice and safe, nice and quiet, throw some music on, throw some TV on, something that will keep them busy. And that would be the best thing for them. And also maybe you can use something that calms them down. I have my chill, which is natural, herbal, valerian, passion flower, chamomile, what else does it have? A melatonin, All right. L-tryptophan. So there are things in there that have a natural calming, and you can do that as well. Then, and for cats, by the way, especially like if you have a black cat, you want to be really careful because, you know, all this weird stuff they talk about cats. Well, it is true. They are kind of, they will be a problem. They can be a problem. So it's important. As far as other things you need to be aware of, you want to make sure that you have ID on your dogs at all times. It's very important. So it's the noise, it's the commotion. Oh, if you're going to, oh, by the way, don't dress your dog in a costume unless you know, A, it does not impede their face so that it doesn't cover their eyes or their ears. All right. You want to make sure that, and they put it on first. See if it bothers them. Because when you take a dog outside that is trick or treating, they're in a costume. So first of all, they're a little bit disadvantaged. Secondly, again, think about the kids. They're walking this way. Other group of kids are coming that way at the dog. And they don't, they may sound as like kids. They smell like kids, but they don't look like kids. And again, even the sweetest dog can become aggressive. So you really need to have a seasoned dog that is okay with costumes. I personally, well, first of all, my kids are all out of the house. We don't trick or treat. I have candy. I've got plenty of candy, but we don't trick it. But my dogs go crazy with doorbells. So I leave them in the kitchen where they're out, away from the craziness. But I would also make sure that you have some sort of ID on your dogs. A collar, obviously, with an ID tag. Of course, a microchip, very important. I love the Fi Nano chip, which is great. And also, if you have access to, if not, think about it. Speaking of Fi, they have a great GPS collar. It's not this huge thing medallion. It's embedded right, a little clip right on the collar, and you can actually see and track your pet. So if your dog should escape somehow, and they have different sizes for very small dogs as well, or cats, if they should escape, you can at least track them and see where they are. So these are some of the preparations for Halloween. Don't ignore them. Don't think that your dog is fine because normally he or she is fine. And she may be, but don't take the chance, especially with all what's going on, the excitement of the night, the food, the candy, the decorations. Be careful of the decorations. First of all, a lit pumpkin. You know, we talked about this with candles. Cats, for example, love. They knock that pumpkin over if it's got a real flame in it. And it could, obviously, they can burn. It could start a fire. And anything, if your house is decorated and there are a lot of exposed cords, again, these are things you need to think before you just go for it, okay? Because you don't want to take a really fun evening like that and have a disaster because of a simple accident that could have been avoided. Also, if there's any leftover candy, let me give you my address. I'm just kidding. Snickers, send them my way. Baby Ruth's also my way. No problem. Kit Kats, I like too, but no, I try to stay away from the candy because I'm a chocoholic and I have a tough time staying away. The reason I don't buy it, the two things that I can't avoid are, well, chocolate cookies, love chocolate chip cookies, and I also love ice cream. So I didn't stay lean because of eating this stuff. I used to be able to, but not anymore. So now I just don't buy it. If I don't look at it, don't buy it, then hopefully it won't attack me. So anyway, all good. If you have any questions about these things, you can always reach me, Dr. Jeff at drjeff.com, Dr. Jeff at petliferadio.com. Those who are on Pet Life Radio, you can get a hold of me anytime. You don't have, I say it all the time, don't wait till Sunday. I'm available whenever you need me. Send me an email, send me a text. I know just by the names here, a lot of you, if not all of you, have my cell phone number, so you can text me anytime. Janet, yes. Janet says, JB, go Dodgers. Yes, go Dodgers. And, you know, Halloween's fun. You can have a really, really fun, good time. And I would take advantage of the good things. And just, it's a matter of thinking before you act. Think before you do. Play it out in your minds. And for those of you who didn't notice or haven't noticed, cast is off. I am dying to get back on the basketball court. Unfortunately, he wants me to take, like, of course, I'm not going to do it because doctors are the worst patients, as am I. I was even doing surgery with my cast on. When I pulled this little thing, a little cute little bear, this one, out of the intestine, I had a cast on. I got an extra large glove that could fit over my cast. I had still my fingers and my thumb. So I can hold forceps and lift up the tissue. And I was digging away. You know, most, even though I'm lefty, most surgeons are use their right hand. Okay. And because the instruments are right-handed. And if you don't have anyone who does surgery knows what I mean. Scissors, believe it or not, try doing a scissor with the opposite hand. It's twists the wrong way. You got to get used to it. So likewise, all the instruments that have these clips, like your needle holders, your needle drivers, your mosquito forceps, your Kelly, your forceps, they all work and they're for right-handed. So as a surgeon, you just have to get used to it. And now I'm so ambidextrous, so it's great. But I was able to do surgery. Now it's easy. But because of the reattachment or the way he fixed my tendon and the ligaments, he wants me out from use. That's why he's having me wear this little brace just to keep me honest. It's not working. But anyway, for like another 2 months, 8 weeks, he says preferably 12 weeks. That ain't going to happen. So I'm going to be starting my shooting again, and I'm going to do it with this on. And I'll see if I can do it, then I'm going to keep doing it. Anyway, hey, Amanda. So what else could I tell you? So that's it. Eloise, you never knew I was a lefty? Oh, of course I'm a lefty. Usually, I mean, when you wear your watch on your right hand, now look, for you, it might be different because, no, trust me, this right here is my right hand. This is my left hand. So I know that because the way the camera works, it's like a mirror image. It's backwards. So I am definitely a lefty, but I do some things right-handed too. But I can surgery. I can do both. So anyway, all right, Nip Free, thank you. So anyway, Vicky, I hope you learn more than just whether or not I'm a lefty when you watch my show. Otherwise, I think I'm failing you if I don't teach you a little something that you can use to help your pets, and you especially as a rescue. I know you see a lot of pets. So if there's anything else you need during the week, you can always get a hold of me. Have a wonderful week. We'll be here next time, same bat channel, here on Instagram Live, here on Pet Life Radio. But I say don't necessarily wait till Sunday. If you need something, get a hold of me. I'd be happy to help. I think that's why I'm here, is to help you with your pets. And plus, I love it. So it's never been work for me. It's not work now. So, you see, JB, also a lefty, third generation. In my family, my dad was a lefty. My two sisters, lefties. I'm a lefty. My mom and brother were the only righties. Unfortunately, my kids are righty. I said, unfortunately, it's a bad thing. Well, again, I said it's a bad thing. But one of my grandkids might be lefty. He's definitely ambidextrous. He eats with his lefty, but he writes with his right. And I really think, and the way I think is terrible, is that his teacher at some point did not like the fact that he was picking up his crayons and his pen or a pencil with his left hand and moved it over his right. And now he does right. So there you go. What can I tell you? Anyway, it is what it is. But in my mind, if he throws the ball lefty, in my mind, he's a lefty. The way it really works is if you're right, whatever hand you're right with, that's what they say you are. But in sports, I say, go left-handed, and he's going to be all right. Okay, next week, everybody. Otherwise, if you have during the week, you know, you get all of me. And we will see you here next week. Have a very safe Halloween. Don't eat too much candy. I know you will, but try not to eat too much. And we'll see you here next week. And remember, you can save... If you got extra candy, I'll let you know where to send it. See you next week.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.